Welcome to the podcast of Things That Make You Think. I am your host, Pablo Castellano, and this show is about expressing opinion and thoughtful analysis on various topics that we find interesting throughout the day or in politics. If you enjoy the episode or others, share them with your other members of the family, friends. Remember to give us a 5-star or favorite us on social media platforms where you can listen or watch some of our live shows. We're on Anchor FM, Spotify, Breaker Audio, Radio Public, and on iTunes. And Overcast FM. If you go to Anchor FM, you can check out some of the interesting things we have on there and some of the other topics and shows. Also, if you go ahead and sponsor us so we can make this show better and more entertaining. On to today's show, one of the topics we're going to be discussing, so don't try to miss a minute of our show. It'll be very interesting, is something that many people think of in the Christian community and some other individuals who may not be of Christian faith. And that would be the topic of, why does God let things happen? So this is just strictly an opinion, not endorsed by anything or anybody other than myself as a viewpoint that may give us some insight as to why things may happen or why one point of view, not necessarily saying it is the correct point of view, but I would think that it would be a good way to look at things sometimes, because that's the idea of the show. Wanting to make you think. Wanting to open up new ideas, new thoughts, and develop a thoughtful process for your character through thought, because actions produce the results expected in speech and body. And they can go take you down that path of good or evil. And people are always the master of the things that they decide to do. So, in the idea of God and why things happen, let's look at, we can look at the Bible and we can see a lot of human history through that book that has been now around for several centuries, either passed down originally verbally in some form written, and then later written from the verbal teachings. But the idea of, why does God let things happen? Well, my proposal would be, it's simply free will. You know, we have to look at free will as, and there's other groups or denominations that look at, is that you don't have free will. And I would have to say that you do have free will. You have a choice. In this life, you have a choice from the moment that you're being brought up or developing as a child to the point when it's time to ultimately pass into the next life. Free will plays a big part of that, because we can see that actions happen that are part of that free will. When somebody might be driving and didn't get enough rest or took medication that was not going to make him groggy or sleepy, and the accident occurs, that's a part of free will. The individuals made those conscious choices that may have led to that accident. Sometimes accidents have tragic events occur. So we have to use our free will with great thought. Some would even say, like the old quote from Marvel, that the dad told uncle told to Spider-Man when he said, "With great powers comes great responsibilities." And that was in Stan Lee's quote. And then the father said that in life, we all have a choice. And we have to make those choices and do what's right. Because we all have a responsibility. We all have free will. So, I look to one of the stories in Genesis sometimes when you look at the action in Genesis with Adam and Eve. You know, they were Adam and Eve. Adam was told, "Don't eat from this tree." When Eve was brought through the compassion of God, because Adam was lonely and God saw this because he had no companion. And we all need a companion or someone we can connect with, because it's all about connections. So he provided a companion that could connect, and I'm sure that they were, Adam also told Eve that we could not eat from this tree. So when I say free will, I'm looking at actions that also may have consequences because of free will. And for every action, science says there's an equal and opposite reaction, or sometimes a consequence of that action, in nature or in science or in general life. So we know that in the story of Genesis, some people know that that is when they describe us as the fall of humanity from God's love and not really love, but from God's connection to us not having sin, not having disobeyed, or not having fallen from that connection to our Father, God. So that was one example of that I could say of free will. We also have the story of Lucifer, or the Morning Star, as his other name is, one of the angels of God. And we see that he also exercised free will. He was granted powers by God himself, most likely a loved individual, very respected, because if he was able to persuade individuals to follow him and not God, then that is telling you that angels had free will, or individuals of the heavenly bodies were granted free will to make a choice. So that's just letting you know that, like any person who is angel or even a normal human being in this world, we are all granted that free will to make that choice. Who do we choose to respect? Who do we choose to follow? What do we choose to believe? What do we choose to ignore? And what evils we will let endure simply because we just refuse to take any action. So why do bad things happen? It all goes back to free will. Because, for example, if a child is running into the street and a car is coming and a parent sees that, the child may not recognize the danger, but it's still the child's ability and free will that allows that child to move into that incident that could become tragic if the parent had not noticed the child going that way Now, the parent has a choice, too. The parent could do nothing, or the parent could do something. You know, yell at first to see if the child will stop, run out to try and grab the child. But in some instances, even with all the actions of a parent and a loving parent for their child, a tragedy can occur. So what happens then is sometimes the parents will have that moment of remorse and blaming somebody else. And even blame God. Because yes, could God have also sent a voice from heaven to say to the child, stop? Possibly. That is a very high likelihood that God could do that, because we've seen that in the Bible. He's spoken to individuals. Moses, Solomon, David, the prophets. So we know he has a voice. What we have to understand is that it's still free will, and you have to be able to listen to that voice. It seems like in this world we're being taught more and more to not listen, but just to do what others want us to do. And it may not necessarily be the right thing, or a thing that is going to enrich certain individuals only, when it may seem that we're getting enriched, but truly we may not be. So I look at that at an interesting perspective. To say that, you know, are there interventions in anything in free will? There can be. Because if you take an interesting perspective on, do we have free will anymore in this world? There's some that would argue that we do not, simply because of all the propaganda that we are fed on a daily basis. And we see it through the news, through politics, through the advertisements, through the money that is spent simply to try and find a connection so that they can get you to choose something that you may not normally have chosen in the past. So are we losing free will? That's something to think about too. How much thought does one put into the things that they're doing nowadays? We have organizations like Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. There was a point when there was a group that did say all lives matter. And they were told that they don't understand the other side either, of the black lives or the blue lives. So which of the three is correct? Are we just not understanding each other? Or do we have a different idea of whose lives truly matter in this divided world? I mean, if do you have free will if you all of a sudden say, well, I believe that black lives do matter, but all lives also matter too? But we have to have a discussion on why do the individuals that may be black feel the way that they do. If we can't have that discussion, then we'll never get to a point to resolve any issues, and we'll just keep being divided. Individuals that serve and protect the blue lives, as they call them, do they matter? Do we understand what's going through their minds or the difficult choices that they have to make on a daily basis? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. That is something we also have to consider. But we seem to be wanting to divide and take sides. And one would always ask, well, does God take a side? I would say God's side is free will. He wants you to choose. to make those choices, to find out who you are as far as your character and what you stand for. So what I'm saying is that we have to look at that as part of why God allows things to happen, because of free will. Because if he intervened every time for everybody on every instance, when somebody asks, I'm suffering because I don't have the money to pay my rent today, and he could just all of a sudden have you be a lottery winner, that would be great for the person who doesn't want a loved one to die, who may have lived a joyful and long life to age 80 or older. And they don't want them to pass, which nobody loves or wants to see loved ones pass or die. So, or even young children, all the tragic events that we hear and see about in the news, locally and nationally. You know, even individuals that are adults but are relatively young, who have been harmed by individuals that most of the time they either knew. Sometimes that may not be the case. It was just an individual they may not have known that was stalking them. But when these individuals are caught, there is that consequence. So we have to ask ourselves, does God allow these bad things to happen? I would say he would prefer that they didn't, but that's because he wants humanity to grow and understand a simple philosophy, a simple commandment, as one would say in the Christian faith. If we simply loved one another, that would make this world a truly better place. Even if you wanted to deny that God existed, even if you wanted to deny that some science cannot be proven without more research, or you want to take false science simply because it's giving you the answer you want without truly studying all aspects of it. We have to look at all these things that are going on in this world. So what I would say is, does God allow things to happen? I would say no. He allows for free will. He allows for storms to occur. He allows for nature to be free. He allows for people to love or not love one another. He allows for disputes. Now, if he takes a side, it's simply because it's not that he's granting free will. He's just telling you, if he speaks to you, how to prepare. What can you do to prepare or be prepared? Because in free will, it also gives individuals fear. And sometimes when you see an army defeating another one, it's not simply because they may have had the greater numbers. It's simply because they did not fear as much as the other army did. They may have been more willing to do something in that fight because they knew going in that they were going to be victorious. And sometimes, even when you don't win a fight, you do, because it inspires those who come behind you. I mean, I would say one of U.S. biggest moments in history that most all people in the United States know is the simple story of the Alamo. When Texas was fighting for their freedom, and those individuals stood the ground at the Alamo and were executed and killed. It became a rallying cry for the soldiers that would come out and defeat Santa Anna. So just because someone's willing to sacrifice out of their own free will to do something, knowing that they may not make it out alive, what will that sacrifice bring to those who will remember it? The soldiers who fought during World War II, they gave up a lot of lives during World War II, fought many battles, both sides did. And they both believed they were fighting for right and a better world. Now you have to ask yourself, out of all the individuals with all the free will to do the things that they did, whose side was God on? Because both sides at some point believed in God and they were right. The Civil War is the same thing in the United States. One side believed that they were right for wanting to end slavery and grant people freedom, regardless of their race, their educational status. And the other side decided we didn't want to do that. And we know how that turned out. But both sides were still fighting, and free will was there. Now, can there be miracles that can occur? There's always the afterthought of, I think and believe that that was a miracle. General Patton saw that as a miracle when he asked for a chaplain to pray. And then the weather cleared, and he was able to do what he needed to do to defeat the enemy. Was that a simple miracle by God that made that happen? Or was that the faith that those troops had that regardless of what was going to happen, weather-wise or not, they would still defeat the enemy they would fight and face? So when we ask why do things happen, consider that free will is also a part of all that, even in nature. Winds blow freely, oceans move freely, they have currents, there's things that can cause them to move. A rock thrown into a lake will make ripples, but somebody has to throw the rock in the lake to cause them. And then when the ripples move, wherever the rock lands, it still goes in the directions outward. In that direction, in all directions, freely, after a simple action. So I would like you to consider those things when we talk about why things happen. We could discuss scripture at another point in time as to why things may happen also. But let me take a brief moment to let you know that I think that we know that our nation is greatly divided, going through many difficult changes right now because of current and prior presidents. We're wanting to come together as a nation. So if you live in the United States and believe you matter as a person, and you may believe in the idea of life and justice matter for all, if you believe this, you must be tired of the party divides in the People's House in Washington, D.C., then just consider your voice as your vote, a power to bring change by nominating the first member of Congress as not truly a member of Congress, as Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., to be your arbitrator. I've already announced before in my prior podcast and today that I believe that we do need an arbitrator, and I'm wanting to fill that position. The Speaker is your arbitrator for the people, and you must be a non-politician who is held to a higher standard and contract with the people of this great nation under God. Arbitration for action needed for the people, not on behalf of a party, lobbyist, political ideology, or circumstances of fear without calm thought. The Speaker must promote what everyone has cherished at birth, that our Constitution guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all its residents of this great republic, created equal and deserving a voice. Those newly arrived and those who have lived here for a long time, I ask you to join me and support this new idea of thought, supporting me, Pablo Castellano, as one of the nominees for the People's House and arbitrator for the people in Washington, D.C., as a Speaker of the House, not being a member elected by any state election. I will be the first arbitrator for the people under the thought of discarding selfishness and leading the People's House as an arbitrator resolving gridlock in our nation's Republican Senate House in Washington, D.C. And this is only done through you, the people, and grassroots movements. Even through the Convention of States, if that's what you choose to do so. America, together we can resolve and restore balance with a simple thought. Congress works for you. I arbitrate for you. It is your time to act in this time of troubled times that have lasted for decades. We, the people of the Republic, acting as one again, as the old motto says, e pluribus unum, out of many one. Let your public servants in Congress know we matter and all our voices count. This is your call to action. Ask yourself what you can do for your nation's prosperity and not what your nation's servants can get from your prospering of themselves through the positions of power. If you want more information or steps for the call to action, you can email me at chooseyourspeakerindc@gmail.com. Again, that's chooseyourspeakerindc@gmail.com. Well, that's our first part of this segment. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to take a brief break, let you think about what I just told you about free will. And then I want to discuss some other topics of the day. And if you enjoy this podcast, like I said, please sponsor me. And also give me a 5-star rating, whatever rating you believe we deserve. And sponsoring will help this grow to be a better podcast. And I think we'll get to connect more and more together as time goes by. Because we need those connections to whatever means we can. Because we never know when they may end or what life has to bring. Welcome back to Things That Make You Think. What I wanted to discuss now, after that thoughtful process of why does God allow things to happen? And as I stated, it's based upon free will. Because that is the most cherished gift that anybody should have in part of freedom, is your free will to know and develop a character that will take you down the path of good and keep you from those evil things that can occur. So what I want to talk about in this second part of the discussion is about Coming to America, the movie with Eddie Murphy. Definitely a long-awaited movie to see a second Coming to America. And if you haven't seen it, it is on Prime, Amazon Prime. It's a very interesting follow-up to the first original movie, Coming to America. And I believe that it meets the topics that we're discussing on free will, because it was very interesting to see the movie and how things were done in that movie, so that there could be a change through the process of each character. Obviously, the prince becoming king. And then who would actually rule after his passing? And seeing the journey of the young man who was the son, and how he would eventually wind up finding himself in that journey too. So if you haven't seen the movie, recommend it. Very good movie. I enjoyed it. It had very good funny moments. It's showing how we can show change through life experiences and through the things that occur in our lives that we don't normally think about. Like those words of wisdom we may get from a wife or a father who is getting ready to pass to the next life. Through our own experiences that we've had in life that we didn't really recognize how it changed us and molded us into the person we are today. We know that throughout our developing life, from birth, which begins in the womb as we develop, science has said that we hear the voices of our parents, grandparents, and the world around us. And they touch us in some ways while we're still developing there. Then we are born, given a certificate of birth, and now we are no longer that child that has not been documented yet. We are now part of society, of that nation, of that community, or maybe even of a religious denomination, regardless of which one it might be, or maybe one of no faith at all. But regardless of that journey that we take, Coming to America, the first movie, showed a young prince wanting to find himself and find love in the first movie, Coming to America. Coming to America 2, we see him now getting ready to take the role from prince to king. And we see the trials and the burdens of that king. And we see the difficulties that rulers must face if they're the only ones that are mandating or dictating. So what I found interesting is in the first movie, Coming to America, it boiled down to, well, the law says you have to do this. And the king's wife then said, well, aren't you the king? Can you not change the law? And he did. And he allowed his son to marry the lady from Queens, from America. And in the movie that came, that they just brought out, it shows the love that they still shared. And then even the children that they had. And one of them was groomed to be possibly the next ruler, as you would think of from England, like the queen, who would grow up to be the ruler and loved person of that nation. But in this instance, the law did not allow that to happen. It had to be a son. So that was the premise, that he actually had a son in America that was out of wedlock. But it was still the son. A son he had not met, and a son that was guided by the family that he knew then while growing up and developing in Queens, New Jersey, New York. And Then you get to meet the mother, the son, and they all come to his kingdom. And there's when their journey begins. They find out who they are. But in the process of him, the new prince, finding out who he is, the king also finds out who he is called to be in this story also. Similar to his father, he is the king. And his wife said the same thing. You are the king. You can change the law. So I'm not going to spoil the story, but I think you pretty much can guess that it's almost similar to the first one. But instead of this time being the effects on free will to make a change, it allowed for a father to connect with a daughter and a father to connect with his son, because their paths were two different paths that they had to take, because they too had free will and they knew what they wanted to do, even when others said it was not possible. Even when others say that the law says you can't do that. Many people in the United States, you know, are misled when they say that the founders of this nation wanted to keep slavery, wanted to do the things that did not set them free, when the laws in either the state or the nation wouldn't allow it at the time. And it's not that they didn't want to do it. They couldn't do it. Because if they would have freed them, they would have gone to jail, and those slaves would have still been slaves. They would not have been freed. So if they had individuals who were treating them kindly, even though, I mean, many people may not know this, but it is in the Bible, how you should treat individuals that are your servants, or sometimes called slaves. And even when you grant them their freedom, there were rules in there too. And that's all in the Old Testament. Granted that the individuals who knew these things would have been versed in not only the Bible, because that was one of the greatest published books that individuals and families usually had for teaching principles and values. It was not the only thing that they would have read. They would have read many other books from Europe and scholars. And they would have had their life experiences. So, even with free will, sometimes, like I told you in the first part of the discussion that we had, propaganda plays a big part. Laws play a big part in what you can and can't do. Yeah. Free will does not allow you in a society to just go and say, well, I have free will. I can just get rid of anybody I want when I want at any time and not have any consequences. Because then you would only have anarchy. And there are those who choose anarchy because that's what they like. They like to see sometimes how their anarchy can create pain and sorrow. Because maybe they have so much pain and sorrow that they want to inflict it on others, so theirs feels lessened. Sometimes cruelty is just an individual who has not known true love, who does not understand that commandment of love one another as you love yourself, and treat others in love so that they will treat you with love. We will not always agree when it comes to what free will is, what should be right under some communities, some biblical standards, some doctrines, some states. There are states that will not allow an individual to own a gun and put strict limits on it. And there are other states that will allow you to possess a gun, less restrictions. And there are states that will say that individuals are being told they cannot vote simply because of their race or skin color or age. So I say that that still all falls upon free will and society's love of one another. When we simply can't agree on a nation's history and we have to ban things like Dr. Seuss books simply because of what I believe to be just political correctness. Well, how is that going to teach your children when a college and a university will even take them off the shelves? Or not allow for individuals to come and say things that could be offensive, or say things that could be deemed as, I simply just don't like what you're saying. Simply because I disagree. Colleges and universities used to be an institution of learning where individuals could come together and hash out their differences, move on into society, and make the changes necessary to make the world a better place. Now, it seems like many of the college and institutions have gone astray by accepting different denominations and currencies and platitudes that sometimes make them want to silence other voices simply because they do not want to offend those donors. Hatred comes in many forms. Love comes in one and only one. Hatred can bring pain, love only joy. So, how do you want to define your free will? One of love, one developing a character and thought process that is unifying, open to listening. Even if we disagree with each other, allowing each of us in our disagreements to live in peace and love. One would argue that climate change is part of free will because you have multiple sides arguing multiple things and saying things that even science on both sides has some disagreements, and they have some things that they can agree upon. But when I hear the word climate change, I find it funny in this essence, because I've always known climate change existed since elementary school when they said summer, winter, spring, and fall. That is climate change. That is the passing of a season in a different form of climate every year. Many things can influence climate. Can humanity influence it? It's a possibility. And it is a probability, because when humanity builds a dam It influences that water flow. That can influence nature. If nature's influence, it will affect other areas. So simply building a dam is already going to cause something. By harnessing wind, are you slowing the way the wind progresses through the air? Because if a fan turns, because it slows the wind down, because it has to cause that thing to turn, the wind turbines, are you changing path of the wind and the flow where it was intended to go when it has to be moving through the air like that freely? Obviously, it's not free anymore if it passes through trees, passes through wind turbines, over the body of a car, standing still. It changes that flow in nature, which could affect climate change. Solar flares, which we have no control over as humanity. When those will occur, how they occur, and what the effects will be on the world. So, I view climate change in a different manner. And I do think we have to have the discussion. But I don't think we have to say to our children that you're going to die. Because when it doesn't happen, you've been caught in a lie. And I look, when I see what people predict, I consider that maybe to be a prophet, somebody who's saying, well, this is going to happen in this span of time. But when it doesn't happen, for Christianity and its purpose of its beliefs, that's a false prophet because it failed to occur. Regardless of who says it, if I say that this is going to happen and it does not, or this consequence will occur if you fail to do a certain thing, and it doesn't happen, I'm being false. If I'm predicting a future event, I'm a false prophet. How many false prophets were we listened to in the political arena? How many false prophets will Christians continue to listen to and be led astray? I believe that a child is developing from the moment of conception. Others believe that the child is maybe developing, but can't agree when it is alive. Well, I'm not questioning whether it's alive or not. My only thing is, it's a developing child. So science already says that you begin developing at conception. So if you're developing, we can argue viability. Science can change viability on a daily basis over time. It used to be, you know, during the time of Washington, one of the founders of this nation, they didn't consider a child viable until they could feel the turning in the stomach as being alive. Later, we developed science that came up with a way to read and look at the child through mammograms, not mammograms, I apologize, through ultrasound technology, and we could see the child. We can start to see even the gender and the formation of the body, the heartbeat, and hear it. So science can disagree when that child is viable, but science cannot and does not disagree that it is a developing child until its death, which means in the womb, out of the womb, until you ultimately die at whatever age that your lifespan attains. So we can argue that climate change, right to vote, anything in the world. But if we don't come together and agree that it's better to take time and understand each other and just simply listen. As you listen to this show, I hope that you'll also think about the words that I've said and see if it changes anything in your life, which I hope that it does. I'll have other things to talk about, other topics. I'm sure there's things of the day that we can talk about tomorrow and the day after next. But I do want to say that whenever you watch a show with your family and you come together, talk about it. Where did you see a life lesson? Where did you see the hero, the villain? Where will this simple story that you watch influence your life and your character from a lesson that is both moral and godly? When you watch movies that have horror in them, as they say, or science fiction, or documentaries, or Christian worship, Christian attitudes, do you want to show you more about who people are? Animation has a story. I spoke the other day of Raya and the Last Dragon. Today, Coming to America, the second movie with Eddie Murphy. So ask yourself, are you just going to be entertained when you watch a story? Or are you going to pause for a little bit and see where the life lessons can be learned? What's being taught? What's being told? Is that something occurring in the world today? One of the biggest things that I remember hearing from the lady who played Uhura in Star Trek, that they may have done many taboos while doing those shows. And they discussed many of the things that were going on in the world in a way that they could not have spoken of or shown in the media, or because of the way the world was not loving each other at the time. We may be heading to another time where we see it difficult to love each other, understand each other, and come together. Short of another revival of love, however it may be, I would ask that it would be Christian love, loving of God and Father and Son. Because when you can see them, then you can see your family and want to also show the same love that is shown to you. Sometimes you don't have that love, but that does not mean it's not out there. Sometimes you may not find that peace at first. That does not mean it's not out there. Sometimes we need distractions, sports or movies. But even in the sports, there is a winner and a loser. Somebody will be sad, somebody will be joyful. But that doesn't mean that in the end, we still can't love each other, and both teams didn't do a good job. So, as I end my show today, it's brief, it's short. We discussed and talked about a little bit of everything. I want to leave you with a blessing. So may the Lord go before you as your guide in your journey in life. May the Lord go by your side as your constant companion and confidant in all things. And finally, behind you as your protector from the unexpected in life. Have a joyful and fortuitous day to all my listeners. And remember, if you can sponsor me, give me 5 stars. We can make this show better and greater so that we can discuss more and do research and have even more to say. So may your character grow. May you be blessed. And may you always find the good and love, even in the most tragic of events. I'll tell you no matter.